Right, Superman 2. Right, okay.
Where we get into it.
This is where we get into it. This is where things get heated. The images are up here that I've chosen are mostly of Zod and his two sidekicks from the planet Krypton, set up in the opening sequence of Superman the movie, and then not mentioned for the whole of that film.
Right.
Leaving anybody who hadn't read a Superman comic just wondering what the hell that was all about. But it was about setting up the sequel, Superman 2, where they were going to be the big bads.
Right.
When did you see Superman 2? What were your first thoughts on Superman 2, Starter?
Say Superman 2 must have been the last of the four movies that I saw. I was a teenager, I think, and I saw the Lester cut first, obviously, because Donner cut hadn't come out. Oh, I can't even remember when the Donner cut came out. So, I mean, I liked it. It was, when you're younger, you kind of tend to go with the story. You don't really think about plot holes, and you don't think about, like, you know, wait a minute, he just off that guy? Like, you just have fun with the action and the fun. It's a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The only thing I have against this movie is, like, did he just kill somebody? and I have that problem with Superman in movies, but there was a wee clip that we cut out that showed that he didn't kill them, you know. So
right.
It's in the deleted scenes.
Of course, right where it should be.
Yeah, but this movie has an entire sequence where he battles against three supervillains in Metropolis, which for the time is like there'd never been anything like that attempted on screen. And I think that was like the big focal point of this movie. People were like, wow, you know, Superman's fighting super baddies.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, it was more based around the comedic stuff because Richard Lester's a comedy director.
Right. It's a little jarring. You know what I mean? Like going from a superpowered drama, something that I kind of feel like more would have been almost at home in Marvel at the time, you know, like soap opera with some superpowers in it.
Yep.
To something that was a little bit more like kind of like Otis's music. You know what I mean?
Got you. That's Otis's music in the first movie. Yep.
Yep. So I mean, you get these things, and I mean, it does everything that a good sequel should do, right? Or that a sequel. I mean, I'm more the mind of you just keep it the same and give it a different situation, not try to top anything.
Yep.
Because he's got so many villains and different things that he can do. You don't need to go bigger. But this movie got bigger because that's Hollywood convention. You got to go bigger. You got to top yourself. You do one villain, next movie you got to do two or three villains, which clearly they do here. Just like Batman Returns when they had to double down on that. And I have a problem with the ending of this.
Okay.
He throws the fruit roll up. Stuff like that. I felt that's
the magic S. The magic S.
Yeah, the magic. Well, I'd pronounce S a little bit differently. I'd put an A on there, but.
It does. It introduces new powers or things.
And there's the
Superman.
Odd hologram thing when they're shooting beams from their hands, and it just kind of felt like either Lester, whoever wrote the script, didn't quite understand. It was just like, well, what if this happened? What if I could see the writer's room right now? What if we had them shooting like energy blasts from their hands, right? Can they do that? They can now, you know. So, and then they're just blinking on and off, and we don't know what's real and what's not. It didn't make a lot of sense as a Superman fan or as a movie fan because this was so out of left field. I think they were just trying to give the audience something fantastic they hadn't seen before, sort of a shock and awe kind of thing, where they just go like, "Whoa, what was that?" You familiar with the term? Maybe I just made it up. Theater shock. Where
enlighten me.
You watch a movie and you're just like, wow, oh, you know, the big sounds and the explosion stuff. You come out and you're like, wow, that was so good. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I got to see that. And then about 15, 20 minutes later, when it all wears off, you go, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Wait, now he did this? It wasn't good. It was horrible. What did I just watch? Because, I mean, there is that kind of adrenaline that goes with seeing a movie in the theater.
I understand that. Yeah,
and then you get out and you're like, that was great. And then you think about it. You just stop to think for a little bit, maybe after like an after movie meal or something, and you're chewing on what's going on and everything that's happening. You start to go, wait a minute. And I think that must have been the situation at the end here.
Yeah. Not my monkeys mention how they he remembers the film shows at the time, the review shows showing clips that were always the Eiffel Tower and the Niagara Falls scenes, which, funnily enough, were pure Leicester scenes. They were not in the original Donner footage because he'd made about 70-80% of the movie filmed previously for the direction of both movies at the same time. Just the conclusion of this for the first movie.
And I never liked the kiss.
The magic kiss.
Yeah. Maybe he sucks up brain cells and memories now?
Is the kiss, I could try to remind me, is the kiss in the Donner cut?
No.
He just leaves her, like, well, sad, doesn't he? Depressed. Well,
he just kind of goes off and fixes things. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, this is the one with the kiss.
Because the Donner cut... The Donner cut of this has the ending that they were going to use, that they used for the first one. So it essentially has the same ending as the first movie.
He did it twice.
but he really does it this way. He takes time so far back that the whole movie doesn't happen.
Right.
I think that's a terrible ending. I think the Donner cut, I think that's a terrible ending.
It's kind of a catch-me-all.
Exactly. In the first movie, he takes time back to a point where he manages to save Lois Lane's life. But it looks like a struggle to do that.
Yep.
So you're like, okay, that's what something he's going to be doing all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. If he takes it back to essentially erase an entire movie, then he's just God. So he might as well just do that every time something bothers him.
That feels like to me like obviously it was a studio situation, but I mean Superman. Everybody says Superman's so overpowered he's boring, and I think these movies went a long, long way in making that happen.
Yeah, I think so. But you can make him overpowered, and then there's ways of handling it.
Well, it's all about his environment and the people around him at that point. Because if you're not worried about him, you got to be worried about what he's going to do to save these people.
Yeah. I much prefer the Richard Lester cut over the Richard Donner cut.
I think aside from the ending, I'd probably prefer the Donner one a little more, just because they don't take as many liberties.
I find Lois Lane quite annoying in the Donner cut.
Margot Kidder was...
she does things like throws herself out a window to prove that he's Superman.
That was one of those great Clark Kent moments where he's like, oh, crap, what do I do?
Yeah, I know, but also she's not that stupid in that if she's wrong, she's going to die. She's not that stupid in that she would do that. I think it makes her less of an intelligent character.
So here's where my...
Pulling a gun on him as well, kind of stuff.
Yeah, but when you contrast with him tripping into the fire...
Tripping into the fire doesn't make much sense.
You're not burnt.
I know, but thematically, it's almost like you can look at that and it's almost like he wants her to know and he uses that moment to let her know.
I think
a lot of whether people enjoy the Donner cut over the Richard Lester cut comes down to approach and how you're willing to take the approach of the director.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, like, for me, the consistency in tone between one and two begin because they're supposed to be pretty much days apart. The one thing about that gun scene, my goodness, was that disjointed. He had two different haircuts that scene, two different costumes. She had her hair done up twice in without getting up from the thing. That was truly pieced together from I don't know what. It looked like an audition scene. Still a fun scene, nevertheless, when you get to see what a difference is when he's sitting there slouching and then when she pulls the trigger and he stands up straight, how different he actually looks.
Yeah.
It was kind of a cool Superman like bit. Even if it didn't really fit, I liked the bit. But yeah.
I wonder if audiences as well, because I think American viewers generally like the Donner approach over the Lester approach.
I think so. It might just be because the director finally got his original vision out there. But you know what this whole thing is it's very prophetic in how it goes, because like with DC rebooting itself every 4 or 5 years and the whole Zack Snyder versus Joss Whedon cut thing, it all happened through this. Superman rebooted himself a couple of times just in these two movies, and then with the Lester versus Donner cuts, one comedic and one serious.
Yeah, well, history does repeat itself. There's so much about the original cinematic cut of Superman 2, I think it's better though. I just feel that it all flows because at least Richard Lester was able to put together a movie.
It was
consistent. It was his. And Richard Lester is not a big fan of superhero comics and finds them quite ridiculous. So he's coming at it from that slightly contemptuous approach. But he's an intelligent filmmaker. He intellectualizes everything that he works on. But he also... he works at a very base level because the slapstick humor in all his movies.
Making it for kids, basically.
Yeah, so it's a combination of slapstick and a kind of an intellectualization of the movie. So he's making it for kids, but he's also, I think he's making it for adults at the same time, in the same way that the Batman 66 creators were using camp to kind of wink at the adults in the audience, saying, you can enjoy this as well, you know?
You know, the other one just ended without the world turning over, didn't it?
No, the Richard Lester one, just it's the magic kiss. Everything happens.
Right. Happens. Okay, because so, that was one thing that really rubbed me the wrong way about the Richard Donner cut. He gets beat up in the bar in the diner.
Yep. Oh, it still has all that. Yes. Okay. In case anyone hasn't seen it, there's Superman has to give a magic kiss to Lois in order so she forgets everything, and then he goes back and he acts like a bully.
Which is all fine for that cut, but here's what really jarred it for me, and I went, wait a minute, just audibly alone in my office. So he has that whole altercation with that bully dude, gets slammed through a wall and stuff, reverses the entire movie, right?
Yeah.
But somehow he goes back and the guy's like, I just had that fixed. That cost me a bunch. And then he beats the guy up and he looks at the guy and goes, oh, I've been working out. Like he's been there before.
Yep.
So that's it must be a magic diner. That's what I've come to figure out.
It's a case of the Donner cut doesn't make sense. It's shoddily put together. And
that is the biggest problem with it, I think.
Superman, that's not a Superman scene. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't go back and bully the guy in the diner. But that works better with a Lester Superman than it does with a Donner Superman. Does it stand up to the test of time? Is it worth watching now?
I think the original one might stand up a touch more, apart from like kind of the silly ending fight. The one in the city works fine. The one at the end, I think it doesn't work for comic fans, and I think it's a little too confusing for a person just going in, you know, by itself. So the Donner cut's got it a little bit above that. But overall, I think unless you have some kind of knowledge of anything, the Donner cut's going to be really confusing too. So it's kind of both of these movies are almost for more of a learned person,
yeah.
You know, like a comic friendly type person. But I think the original would work more because it's more consistent, especially for kids. There's going to be things to like, wait a minute, for both cuts for adults.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it works out okay.
I think they both stand up. I think this is also worth watching in much the same way as the first one is, for slightly different reasons. It doesn't have the epic grandeur about it, but it does have a nice kind of quirky Silver Age quality to it.
I mean, he's going to look silly next to, like, you know, the Man of Steel fights, which is basically Superman 2 remake, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing that always bothered me about this. Superman took himself, and why I don't like Kryptonian villains in these things, because Superman took, like, pretty much his whole life to figure out how to use his powers. And in this one and in the Snyder one, they're both just like, well, we're soldiers, you know, we're just we just know how to do it. I always kind of struggled with that. Like, they just know. So it was hard for him.
Well, at least in the Donner one, he spent years being taught in the Fortress of Solitude, and he comes out as fully formed as Superman. So that's kind of set up there.
For him, it took him years. But like Zod, in both versions, just kind of went, oh, I have...
Oh, yeah. That's kind of annoying. It's less annoying in this one, though, because Terrence Stamp plays Zod in such a way that even if he was surprised about being able to find out what he could do, he would never let on. It's also got a kind of a redneck American sheriff policeman character in it, and that's always good value for money back in the late 70s and early 80s.
Mm.
So, yeah, same actor that was in The Man with the Golden Gun, I believe, as well.
Great fashion sense from the evil Kryptonians, too. They could make a great band.
They could indeed. They're fantastic. Goths have nothing on them. So yes, Superman 2. Yeah, it still stands up to the test of time.
I didn't even use my Superman 2 avatar. We were talking, we were talking so intently.
I know. we'll have none of that.
Well, none of that.
None of that. None of that. Yeah.
But now, since we're going on to Superman 3,